This discussion took place in August 2021 on the Irish State of Ekantis site.
But we were talking about your obligation to profess the faith. It's important to know, do not cast your pearls to swines. You're not obliged to preach to everybody. As a matter of fact, I avoid people as much as possible. If I see a human being walking down the street on one side, I walk on the other. I'm very friendly to people in town, everybody, even the wackos. I'm friendly to everybody. I'm nice to everybody I meet, unless they're not nice to me, and I have to raise it up because they're getting very nasty. So I love human beings, but I don't like them. I always tell the brothers over here, watch out for them beans. I always warn you about human beings. Now, if you're not set in this, it's good to be zealous, to want to go out and evangelize, but be very careful, because the devil will take advantage of you, and he'll send one wacko after another asking 20,000 different questions, of which you then give a good answer, but then he comes back with another question, and then when you're done answering all his questions, he goes back to the first question when you gave him the answer, and he denies it all over again. We learn through experience, and this is so true, unless the person comes up to you and asks about the faith. And that's why we wear sacramentals. And believe me, you'll get enough people coming up. So, hey, what's this? Like, for instance, if I'm shopping and somebody, hey, what's that crucifix? I'll say it's the St. Benedict's crucifix. And it's the St. Benedict medal on it, which casts away demons. And by the way, here, please take this card and go to my website for your only way of salvation. And give them a card. We have these cards we make up. It works really good. And the card says it all. I'll read it to you in a second here. I think we got it here. I'll read it. It gives the information how to contact us, our website, and on the back it gives everything, a briefly thing that they need to know.
The back of the card says, Jesus says, he who will not hear the church, let him be to thee as a heathen and a publican, Matthew 18:17. Thus there is only one true church of Jesus Christ, the Catholic Church, outside of which there is no salvation. Beware the false Catholic Church that has occupied Rome since the time of the apostate Second Vatican Council in 1962.
And if they're of goodwill, God will send them to you. Just remember one thing, in John 6:44, Jesus said, nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him to me. And John 6:37, all whom the Father has come to me will come to me. You don't got to go to them. The only time you got to go out and evangelize door to door is if God, Jesus Christ, or the Pope, or an authority in the church tells you. And generally, when they tell you to do this, you're going to have miracles backing you up. Because the minute you start thinking, you got to witness to everybody you pass on town, you got to knock on doors, the devil's going to have a field day with you, God's going to send the people to you. And then you start witnessing to them. Some people will come up and ask more detailed questions. Then that's great. We sit and talk to them. And then you give them the card. They can contact me on the Support John the Baptist, or they can contact you and wherever you are, and you can continue to work with them if they're of goodwill. But they're not worthy to come on the Irish City of Ekantis site until they have shown some goodwill at least. But be very careful about the trap. We did this when we first, go ahead. This is Declan. If people show interest and you show them what you know to convert, if you show them enough, stop, nothing more. Don't provoke, because then you're only provoking people. Once you show them enough and they're not listening, just pray for them. And it's like I said to you before, if I bring something up they don't believe in, or we're talking about homos maybe, I say, well, unless you come back to me and tell me that you admit that homosexuality is an abomination and it's immoral, we don't go no further. I don't talk to you no more. I'm going to purposely hide the faith from you. Jesus purposely did not speak to everybody. He spoke when he was doing his preaching, but the one time when he sent the disciples out to go, it was by his command, and he gave them miracles, and he said to them, and when you go to these towns, on the way to the town, don't stop and talk to anybody. Because if you start thinking you got to talk to everybody, the devil's going to send a million people in your path, all pretending to be interested, just pseudo intellectuals. They're not really interested in the faith, and you're wasting your time. You're talking till you're blue in the face, and which is even worse, if you keep doing that, you're committing a sin. So by wasting your time, in the beginning I was like that. Believe me, I learned by experience. I wasn't getting any work done on my website. I wasn't finishing any of my books. Okay, Thomas, you got a question.
Will I be correct in saying that the only exception to that is when you convert and you have family members and friends?
Okay, family members and friends, you only witness to them once or twice. If they're not listening, forget it. What can you do? You're not. Don't witness. Every time you go to eat with them, you don't got to witness to them, or you're provoking them. You witness?
No, I just mean like when you first convert.
Oh, yes.
It is an obligation
yes.
to.
Yeah, I know what you mean. No, you do have to witness to your family member. When even now you could, even as catechumens you could, and you have to do it at least once. That's true because they're close to you. That's a very good point, right? So well, I'm talking about strangers. And Thomas, we were talking about this before. If a pope or a bishop commands you to go, like he used to tell the evangelist, then you have to listen. That's Jesus Christ speaking through the pope or through your local Catholic bishop. If he tells you to go, then you go, and you start knocking on doors. But you don't do that kind of stuff unless it's directly from God. And my opinion is, and we can study this, that unless God gives you miracles, you're wasting your time when you're doing that kind of evangelizing. And you notice, you can tell how the faith has been gone for 1,000 years because you haven't seen that happening anymore. Nobody believes it happens anymore. Look at that St. Patrick movie. How beautiful that movie is. It's wonderful. The Moses of Ireland. How else could he convert it unless God went before him with miracles of smiting the evildoers and miracles by healing the people? You need that. And when you watch that movie, I'm going to send you on the black robe. It's a sad thing. How come the Jesuits had such a hard time converting the Indians? Because they didn't have the miracles that they should have had. They were doing some natural things by showing them how you can use a radio and making it look. That's not a miracle. The reason the Jesuits weren't given miracles is because they weren't Catholic. So you need to have, when you start, like, when we were like that in the beginning. It's good to be zealous like that, but don't get me wrong. I do want you to evangelize, but you can over... But you gotta know when to do it and when not to do it, and you learn the hard way. I remember in the beginning we had these punky street kids. I look at a lot of people in town here like Canaanites; they're slated to die. I avoid people at all costs. They gotta come up to me and ask me. Then I'll tell you. Maybe then I'll tell you. That's the attitude you have to have. But in the beginning we had these young kids like they're purple hair, pink hair, you know, smoking pot. I'm trying to talk to them about Jesus Christ, and they're just laughing, like, hey, you know, it's like I was talking Chinese to the kids. You're wasting your time unless God tells you to do it, and then if he does tell you to do it, and I'm the firm opinion, if a pope told you to do it, a bishop, that God will give you miracles to do it. And when the evangelizers will not get miracles anymore, that's a sure sign that they're falling away.
Or God did not want that group of people to be evangelized, even though you do have the faith, and you can even be a holy saint. But it wasn't God's will for those people to be evangelized.
And a lot of times, even I'll give you a St. Paul. Remember, he wanted to go to Macedonia, and a guy said, no, he not Macedonia. He wanted to go to Asia. And the angels, no, don't go to Asia. I don't want you to preach in Asia. And then a guy at night appeared and said, preach in Macedonia. So, okay, go to Macedonia and preach to them. So, when you're going to do that kind of massive evangelizing, you're going to need miracles. But there's plenty of people are going to come up to you if you're wearing your sacrament. Not plenty. I don't want to say plenty. When they ask you, then you start talking. Go ahead, Thomas.
Nowadays, of course, we're all online and we have Facebook and all these different social media things, and or even just comment sections and stuff. If we see someone of goodwill, I just generally just send them a link, usually Ryan's video for the desecrations, and I know they can find their way from there, you know?
That's good. That's exactly it. I'm going to send you a copy of these cards, maybe now. I'll try to get together as soon as I could. We're just working on it. It's the best thing we found with these cards, because here's my, look, a guy asks about things like, here, please visit our website, if you want to save your soul. You don't need this. Just sometimes if you're out eating at a dinner, and the waitress was very good, just with the tip, leave a card. And to me, that's enough. That's enough. Hey, look, if God wants somebody, the time's getting soon because I'm doing the catechism lessons now. When the Bible gets up, it is going to start happening. We need miracles. But even before the miracles start happening, we need enough people in here to handle it when the people start coming in. God, what's to stop God from giving somebody a dream? And he's sleeping, he's dreaming, and all of a sudden an angel goes and goes, visit www.johnthebaptist.us. And he goes, what the heck was that all about? Forget about it, right? He goes to sleep the next day, visit www.johnthebaptist.us. What the heck is that all about? Yeah? God can do it a million different ways. If someone's good, he'll send him to us. Don't fall for the trap thinking you got to witness. I have people in there. I got to witness to everybody I pass. Everybody I'm sitting next to, everybody in the supermarket, everybody I pass on the street. Hey, by the way. And guess what? When you do that, you only provoke people anyway. They're not ready to hear it. And when people aren't ready to hear it, go ahead.
Usually, what I was doing, I'll take your advice, of course. But before, what I was doing was I would find people of goodwill and I'd just talk to them. So, for example, Declan, I was talking to him. We seemed very goodwill. These are all back in protest and that quite a while ago.
Yeah.
And of course, they're here with us now.
Yeah. So that's what we do.
Is there some?
Yeah, if they're of goodwill, and you know that, if somebody's in town. And they come up and they go, hey, I noticed you people. What do you believe in? And then you see them good on. You're talking to them. Then you keep talking to them. Then you send them to the site, and then that's good. That's when you. I love it when that happens. I get to actually. Go ahead.
But they didn't approach me. I actually was trying to actively evangelize.
Well, sometimes what happens, at the homo parade thing we were preaching at, or if you're preaching, I heard your preaching, you did really good last year. I like your preaching when you're condemning that pagan flag. That's good. But then from you doing that, some people may come up and ask you questions. But look, don't be fooled by that. Declan would have came around sooner or later, even if you didn't go up to him. Because if you start thinking, if you start thinking like that, you're going to feel guilty for every person you passed on the street. That you didn't go up and talk to. Every person whose house you passed and did knock on their door and talk to them. So don't be fooled by that, neither. Declan would have came around.
You kind of know the situation. If I'm talking to somebody and say they reject or they accept something really difficult for most people, say, for example, the World War II thing, that they reject that the Holocaust happened, kind of thing. That's quite a rare thing to find. So with that kind of person, I'm like, okay, here's some more information,
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing too. If I'm out there and I'm you're working with somebody and you're getting friendly, you can be friendly with non-Catholics. There's some that are better than others, and you could look at a non-Catholic and say he seems to be of goodwill. Let me talk to him. Then talk to him. If for some reason you see that this guy on the natural plane is conservative and he's of goodwill, then speak to him a little bit. Give him a card. If he doesn't respond too much, and leave it at that. If he starts responding, thank God, and you talk to him. But you're not obliged to go up to everybody you pass and everybody you speak to. Because if you do that, almost every case, you're provoking them. I told this one guy, Vinnie Lewis, who was at St. Benedict Center in New Hampshire, and he used to think you have to preach to everybody, and he'd club them over the head, and he'd always be proud of this. I don't know why he said this. You should have never said this. He said, of all my preaching, I never converted anybody. That's what he said. I don't know why he said that. He's undermining himself. Because Christ draws you, not you, Vinny, not your smooth words, not your convincing words. You do that. It's good to have good words and smooth words. I agree with that. But when a person's of goodwill, if he's not, you're gonna be. I was bad in the beginning. Believe me, I'm telling you guys my experience. I give you an example. My brother Ron Elmy over here, an older guy, he's living next to me up in Chimayo, up in northern New Mexico when I first came out here. I'm on the phone all day talking to people. This one kid from Delaware, I talked to him two, three times a day. Where did it teach that? Where did the church teach this? Show me the ordinary. Show me the solemn. I'm showing. Then we're talking about 10 different... Then he goes back to the first thing he brought up and he disagrees with it again. And then Ron says, my ear was this is when they had telephones. Now, my ear was like a cauliflower ear. I was on the phone so much. And Ron said, what are you doing on the phone so much? You're wasting your time. And then finally, he got on the phone. He pulled the phone out of my ear and he says, either you believe what he's saying or don't call back anymore. And he hung up. And he straightened me out. And he did this other woman in Texas I was speaking to. I was on the phone trying to convince her. And no matter what I did. And I was on there all day. Think about all the time I took on that, taken away from all the work. This was years ago. I'm warning you, people, can happen here with this stuff. Weed out the bad-willed people. Don't even talk to them anymore. Stay with the good-willed people. And don't, your attitude should be this. And it's mine. I avoid people at all costs. They got to come up to me. I go shopping. I say hello to people all the time. I'm never rude to people. I'm even the worst homos in town. If I walk by them in town, I say hi to them. I'm nice to people when I pass them, but I try not to pass them. So if I'm a block away and he's on this side, I walk the other way. I go, they're walking time bombs. That attitude will bring peace to you. And there's a lot of it's in the scriptures. I got it. It's going to be in a profession of faith about casting pearls to swines. You're wasting your time. Or there's another verse I love. It's like you're speaking to this guy all night, right, about all these dogmas. And then it's the morning, and then the guy wakes up and he goes, what did you say? He was sleeping and he wakes up. He goes, "Oh, what did you say?" So, don't be fooled by it. And we got to go around witnessing to everyone. We don't. And look, we got our statues up here. You UPS guys come here. We don't witness to them unless they ask us. We got our sign right up on the outside that says, for your only hope of salvation, visit www.johnthebaptist.us. There it is. You got it. So this is important when you first come in. It's good to have zeal, but if you don't bridle that zeal and you don't do it the right way, then it can actually become a sin. It could turn into a sin. Because then you're like, you're thinking you're going to convert the guy on your own power. The devil's going to get into you and waste all your time. So that's a very important point on evangelizing. Just remember that God's the one that draws them to you. And the only time you want to go out and start going to everybody is if the Pope tells you, or Bishop tells you, or Christ tells you, and he gives you miracles. And you know you're doing miracles. Because I happen to believe that's one of the things you need to have to start doing that kind of evangelizing, that kind of stuff, knocking on all the doors, stranger doors and everything. You need miracles. It's in the scriptures, Mark 16:16. These are the signs that shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils, they shall take up serpents. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And they shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And I will send you out, and you will heal, and you will do these miracles. If that's not going with you, you're wasting your time. Go ahead.
So if somebody, in particular Protestants, would approach you, like, because they see you're a cross most likely, they reject some dogma or whatever, and you explain, actually it's in scripture, do you do that, or do you just say, oh no, here's a card?
No, we love it when Protestants approach us, then we open up. I love that. The people I witness to the most are Protestants, because at least they care about something. So when a Jehovah's Witness comes to my door, he wishes he never came to my door. I witness to them. I tell them about the religion, where they're false, because now they're talking about the faith. I love it when that happens. You'll find out they'll stop coming to your door eventually. But we had one guy, he was a younger Jehovah's Witness, and he started to listen to me. And the guy said, we got to go now. Let's get out of here. So when a Protestant comes up and talks to you, I love it. Because you know it's really, and you probably will know this from experience, at least you can talk to the Protestant about something. He reads the Bible. He's on first base. Go try to talk to nominal Catholic about something. It's like you're talking Chinese. I do this one
actually,
lady.
On that,
yeah, go ahead.
On that note, something you didn't mention yet, which I think is key for any kind of evangelization that you teach, is that 2 + 2 = 4. If they reject something really obvious, like there's really no point in continuing. So that would apply to that Protestant. You know,
absolutely correct, yes. Very good, because you don't want to go on with them.
Yeah.
Because you're wasting your time. Now, we Yeah, go ahead.
So for each person you're talking to, whether it's Novus Ordo or whether it's... For each person, I have a specific thing I show them. So if it's Novus Ordo person and they're asking questions, I showed them John Paul II kissing the Quran. If they don't accept that, fine.
That's good.
If it's a traditionalist, I showed them the desecrations. If they don't reject that,
very good.
Get away from me. If it's a Protestant, I'm not really sure what I'd use. I usually say, "Do you think Mary is a sinful woman?"
You know what I do with Protestants? I got the best three arguments. I have it up there. First of all, are you infallible, and is the head of your church infallible? It's the first thing I ask.
Right.
And he says, no man's infallible. He says, then everything you're teaching me could be false right now by your own admission. You just told me you're not infallible, neither is the head of your church. All right? That's the first question you ask him. Second question is, does the Holy Spirit lie? Because you say the Holy Spirit speaks to all Protestants individually, but how come he says a different thing to this one and that one? But that's the third one. The second thing I say is, go back to the year 100 and tell me everybody that believed everything you believe in the year 100, 200, 300, 400, go, give me their names and where they live. Those are the three basic things I always hit them with, and it kills them. Those three, right off the bat. And the infallibility, you know what? The Catholic Church is the only one that claims infallibility. Not even the Russian Orthodox Schismatics and the Greek Orthodox Schismatics claim infallibility. None of them claim it by their own admission. So that's the first thing I ask them. Are you infallible? Is your the leader of your pastor infallible? Well, then everything you're telling me could be wrong. Why should I listen to you? That's the first one. So just those are little keys. But you're right. Once after you have explained to them well enough, most times you'll see if you're explaining it to them well enough, they're just going to run away from you. They don't even want to come back to you. But if you're living close to them or near them and you see them every day, then every now and then you say a little something. If they bring up something, you tell them a little more. But like you said, though, if somebody is unwilling to believe that 2 + 2 = 4, you're right. You got somebody there that's not going to listen to anything. You know, you give them like a basic thing, like our Lord said in John 3:12, if they do not believe earthly things that I tell you, how will you believe heavenly things?
Yeah, it saved me a lot of time. I used to, because I was a nominal Catholic once, or sorry, I was a Protestant once, and I used to watch debates and all that kind of thing, and I found out I was being lied to all this time with the Protestants, and then I had this kind of vendetta against the Protestants then, and I'd research every single argument I had and destroy it. But I'd actively seek them out in the city and, like, you know, spend hours on debating them.
Yeah.
All intellectual. Like, they didn't care, and I should have been able to. If I only had that 2+2=4 strategy that you tell us to do.
But you know what? I think that's the way, because none of us had any leadership. None of us did. Our Lord God is bringing us in by himself. And now we have leadership here to help people. So it's good. I think that's a natural thing you have in the beginning because you think it's good, and then you learn by experience. But my job is to help people bypass going through all that pain. Because like you said perfectly, you're just wasting your time then. If he doesn't answer these first... Because you know what we found out with Protestants after you tell them, some of them, they always... What's that one about Grace, Will? The guy?
Oh, Ephesians 2:9. A man is not saved by works, but by grace alone.
Yeah. They always sort of grace. Then they always come back, and then you throw it up. What about this one? You have to obey the commands. So be saying, and they're not listening to you. It's like they're in a...
Our works are like...
Everything you say to them goes right over their head, and they don't even answer your questions. And then you're wasting time with people like that.
That's all I had there. Me and William were saying, actually, even though I was doing it in a bad will, I think God was using them for me to learn a lot about the Bible and
arguments. It's good to learn. No, the learning part is good. And because we do need to learn about all the false religions. What's that one verse 2? It says Proverbs 20:21.
21:12. Yeah. Study the house of the wicked so you can draw them out from their...
Study the house of the wicked man so you can draw them out of his evil. So you do need to know about what they believe in. You do. That's true. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have Seventh-day Adventists. We have Lutherans. We have Jehovah Witnesses. And we got to know what each one believes in.
Yeah.
Jehovah Witness, for instance, your guidance, your church didn't start till 1800 when this guy, Russell Brown, Russell.
Yeah.
He came around and I said, what happened to the church for 1800 years? So it is good to study. That's true. And then, so when you get to talk to them, you give them the info. And then if they're not listening, you leave. You don't just keep fighting with them, because if they're... You know, most people don't convert right away, so you really don't know if you had an impact on them. A lot of times you can have a really big impact on a person and never know it in your whole life. Go ahead.
Sometimes when you are debating them or you're watching their materials for research, sometimes they ask you a difficult question and you don't know. I think there are golden opportunities to learn about the faith also. So there's a few different things you can actually get out of it.
Oh, yeah. But like you said, though, if to waste a lot of that time of getting into a million different questions, I start out usually with the basic first three, and then if they start listening, then I get into other stuff about what they believe in, you know, like the Sabbath day. That comes up a lot, you know, how the ones who believe that the Lord couldn't change the Sabbath day. So you do need to know the arguments, that's for sure. And you'll get some Protestants that, you know, they'll come along somewhat, and then, but then after you've done your work with them and they're still not listening, then there's a point where you just pray for them. For the conversion, there's nothing more you can do. This is, to me, a very important topic to see. We were all like that. I'm Thomas. I'm glad you're like that. Zeal. I mean, if you didn't have zeal, forget it. God admires that. But you got to bridle it. And you got to know when to use it. All of us were like that. I remember Bruce up in Colorado. Every time somebody come up to us, he's talking about the faith. He'd have about 5 different people. He's out there. It's same people coming around. Same arguments. Why that? Why that? You know. Keep your and then you realize too, a lot of times if you're just going up to most people and just like you're provoking them, and I still firmly believe in it. The only time we're called to start going up to strangers and knocking on doors and people, you know, just all over the place, is I got to have miracles, or else I don't have any right to do that. I don't feel I have a right to do that, and it's cruel to the person that I'm infringing on. But other than that, people that come up to me, and they do. They come up and we ask. And if I see somebody that's kind of good and I get friendly with them, we start talking about it. Even if you're working with somebody at work and you begin to get a little friendly with them, you can bring it up if the guy's listening a little. But if not, then don't bring it up. Okay.
Worth noting, it's kind of disheartening, obviously, when they don't accept information. But in the future, when the miracles do occur, a lot of them people who didn't accept information will be aware of the information and know where to go to get it.
Yes.
So
yeah.
There could be a little delay factor for a lot of people you're trying to evangelize.
Exactly. You know what we say? We're planting seeds. So everybody that comes up and we give a card to, Everybody that comes up and asks about their faith, and we speak as long as we could, as long as they're listening. And even if they don't listen, they walk from us like most of them do. But a lot of them, you'd be surprised. And they listen, okay? But they don't believe in everything right away. But when the miracles happen, it's going to be like Pentecost Day. You watch how many conservative-minded people we're going to have that are going to convert. And it's true. It's going to be like Pentecost Day. But we need miracles. And then they're going to see the power of God against the Antichrist, who they don't like. And they're going to come in here like Pentecost Day. They will. And we're going to have enough people in here that are going to be able to handle it, so it's not just 10 people in here trying to handle a million people. Now, you say a lot of, okay, the percentage, we figured this out a lot of time. I don't think more than 5% or 1% of the people in the world are going to be saved or come into the church in these final days. But we figured it out somehow, like 1% of the world population is like 10 million people. That's 1%. Imagine if I had 10 million people showing up on my front lawn and I didn't have anybody helping me. So before that happens, we need to have some people coming in like you guys, hopefully, that can help and build a base. The apostles started out with 260-some people in the upper room, converted 3,000 people on Pentecost Day, and then 2,000 the next and 3,000 the next. Don't let people say, oh, my friend, he's not going out there preaching to anybody. He's not knocking on doors. What does he care? You know, don't fall for that trick. It's the trick of the devil that wants you to go out there and waste your time. He wants you to provoke other people. It's not helping. And the devil, then you're opening your door to the devil. Everybody around the corner is going to come in and start. Remember our Lord even said in one verse, he said, this is great with the apostles. He says, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. To them it is not given to know the mysteries. So I speak to them in parables so they cannot know. That's Christ saying, I don't want them to know. Because in his predestined mind, he knows they're of bad will. He sees their bad will and says, they're not worthy of the truth. I'm going to even twist them up a little bit with a parable. See, so we got to be like Christ when it comes to stuff like that. Don't cast your pearls to swine. When Jesus told the apostles to go to the town and he gave them power to miracles, he said, don't talk to anybody who you visit on the way. And this is to help people who think you've got to go in and start witnessing to everybody, you know, so... Oh, Thomas, by the way, I heard your, I'm going to post it up even, your preaching a year ago at that thing. It was really, really good. See, when you're called to do stuff like that, that's good. That's spontaneous. Like we did the homo parade thing. You know, you see something like that, you got to speak up. And, you get the attention of people. If you had some cards on that day, you can hand them out to the whole thing. Hey, take a card. You know, actually, you could have a banner up there. Visit johnthebaptist.us.
But that was my only mistake. I didn't.
Yeah.
Give them the message, but you know, at the end of the day, they've got hearts, they'll find it.
Yeah, but
the other mistake I made is I didn't do it at the start when they were doing it. I waited until the end.
No, that's all right. You're not going to say it right away. You did it just at the right time. If you did it in the beginning, maybe it would have been a different result. I like it. We said you lured them in with the flute, and then you nailed them. liked it. It was good.
They're all nationalists, so I had to get them with the traditional Irish music have all their attention at
exactly.
one time.
I want to post it. Give me a link on that, or give me the video too, so I can put it on my hard drive.
I got it.
It's going to be on my website. But that's good. See, like a homo parade, I was compelled to do that.
When he did the preaching there, the people there weren't really on board with what he was saying. But if you go to the comments on the video that was posted, everybody in the comments was like, hey, that guy that was playing the flute, he was actually making a lot of sense.
Exactly. You know what I noticed when I saw the people too? Some of them, they were in shock. Think about this. Thomas, you might be the first guy that did this since 1,000 years. I mean, maybe 500 years. I mean, this is what Patrick, I like what you said, what would Patrick say? And I saw the shock on their faces. And I said, just people sitting back. No one told them this. They need to be told. You know, like they say, when people can bury the natural law upon their heart and think homos are okay. But there's still a law in there, but they covered it over with cement. So what you did was you broke the cement that day, and you went, hey, that's a mythological god, and it's naked. And St. Patrick wouldn't do that. No one's doing it anymore for what? 1,000 years, 500 years? No one's doing it anymore.
Yeah, the thing is, they were, you know, the loud people are going to be heard and seen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Half of them were genuinely shocked or just quiet and just listening. Like, obviously, what he's saying is correct. And the interesting thing is, there was quite a popular Seda Vedantist with the CMRI there, and he actually said to me, it's a Dublin expression. He said, "You reckon the buzz." And it means you're wrecking the fun, you know, because it's at the end of the day and everybody
we were just having fun, and now you just spoiled our fun.
It was unbelievable, because he's quite well known, and
And he's just SSP Penner, right? SSP Penner, see?
CMRI.
Oh, CMRI. Oh, even worse, Sadie Vicontis. And he's still like that. He thinks an idol's okay, see? Because they got idols in the churches. See? They think it's normal to have idols.
Yeah, and the thing is, a lot of them have the country above the faith, and so that's why, they associate this flag with the country, so they don't mind it in the procession.
But the
good thing about him was, he's actually introducing the Sede Vicantis view to a lot of influential nationalists. We're not that big, you know, it's only a small amount, but at least he's getting through to them the first steps, like I was with MHFM, or whatever, whoever else.
Well, you know that's like the Diamond Brothers. You know, I used to say, anybody who's with the Diamond Brothers, because he's giving some truth, right? Any goodwill people, they'll end up with us. You're leading him to us. Look, evildoers, God uses evildoers to tell the truth. And so you're going to get a truth. They're leading. Anybody who's a goodwill will eventually end up with me, because the Diamond Brothers can only hide so much using the RI stuff. They hate using my name. RI said this, RI said that. All I got to do is type in what I said and search the internet and they can find out who I am. But you're right about that. He uses evildoers to get pieces and kernels of the truth. And like I did, when I was coming into the church, I was following Protestants even. I was listening to Protestants because they were better than the nominal Catholics. And then I would find out where they're wrong. I'd say, no, that's not right. And I go to another Protestant. No, that's not right. You know, like Abraham. You're going down the road, and Abraham rejected his idols, eventually rejected them all, and then God led him into the church. But it's sad when you said something. What you said there has not been said. I don't underestimate this for 500 years or more. No one's saying it anymore. No one says anything like that. Everyone's ecumenical in the whole world. They don't want to, when it comes to religion, they don't want to offend anybody. So this is what people need to hear, though. So when the time is right, imagine that you do that with a couple of St. Patrick miracles. When a guy tries to come out of the hit and you raise your hand out and the guy freezes and he can't move, or you strike him dead. God strikes him dead.
In fairness, one or two were close enough to doing that. They were like, this guy's Antifa or something. It was only because I knew the two leaders that were there, Gemma O'Doherty and Niall McConnell. And like, I actually helped them with a lot of things. So it was only because I knew them that I didn't get a punch.
I heard a couple of wise guys trying to mouth off on you, but then you mouthed off back.
I know.
You didn't take it, you know. You got righteously angry. Oh, Thomas got angry. He said, we're not allowed to get angry anymore. Hey, by the way, being that when I post this up, I'm going to want to have your video posted up, too, so they can look at what we're talking about right now. So they can get an idea, though. You have it downloaded?
Yeah,
oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I might include a few snapshots of the event so you can see what happened.
Oh, yeah. Send me a couple. Yeah. Send me whatever you got.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm glad I was able to talk about this obligation to profess the faith, because I don't want you guys to exasperate yourselves and waste your time, or think that, hey, what's that Brandy doing? He ain't going around knocking on doors, looking, he's sitting in the house, you know, he's not doing anything. You know, you get these people that think they got to be out there witnessing all the time. It's a complete opposite. Only if they come up to you, and if God gives you miracles, then you go do it. And see, people are more curious. When you provoke people, it just doesn't work 99% of the time. It doesn't work if you're provoking people.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.